Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Guys, I have bad news. I'm so sorry. After this session, camp will be half over. We have to be realists here, okay? We have to know that stuff so we can make the most of every moment. But don't worry. You got your friends, right? Your friends will help get you through it. You guys, we're talking a lot about friendship this week because friends bring us joy. But I just want to say, friends come and go like the waves of the ocean. But the true friends, they stick around like an octopus on your face. Okay? If anyone's looking for tattoo ideas, maybe. Maybe someday. Don't go and tell your parents I told you to get a tattoo. I'm not saying that. All right, open them Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. By the way, does anybody want to share something that so far from Philippians or the sessions have really stuck out with them? Maybe two or three people? Anything that's like really sank in? Yeah, right there in the Mario hat. Hold on. Say it really loud and then I'll tell everybody. That friends never leave you. Good ones. In Christ, right? Yeah. Oops, say it. Say it again. Humility. What about humility has stuck out to you? Or what did you learn about humility? Anything new that you hadn't known before? No, you just like it? Okay, good. I love it. I'm going to go back. I'll go right there. Yeah. Say that again. Don't be afraid to suffer. Ooh, that is a good one. Is that because we should like to suffer? No, but sometimes Jesus is going to call us to suffer. We're actually going to talk about that today in the scripture. Okay, last one right here. Like your bad opportunities, you can always talk to people about Jesus. Man, yeah, yep. Which means that we shouldn't grumble or complain about them, right? We should see the opportunity. She said, even in bad situations, it's still an opportunity to talk about Jesus. Man, good job, you guys. I've been hanging out with some of the cabins afterwards as I have time, and it's been really cool to hear you guys discussing the Word and sharing with each other. Keep doing that. Keep taking notes and keep growing from the study of the Bible here. Okay, so we are in Philippians chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 19 through 30 today. This morning, I should say. And, you know, Paul has been talking about some really important spiritual concepts. He's still going to do that, but now he's kind of getting back to the practical stuff, because remember, this is an affectionate letter to friends in a place where he isn't. So he's actually going to talk about some of the things that are happening between them and his companions with him. So starting at verse 19, it says, "Now, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be encouraged by news about you. For I have no one else like-minded who will genuinely care about your interests. All seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know his proven character, because he has served with me in the gospel ministry like a son with a father. Therefore, I hope to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. I am confident in the Lord that I myself will also come soon. But I considered it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, as well as your messenger and minister to my need. Since he has been longing for all of you and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. Indeed, he was so sick that he nearly died. However, God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. For this reason, I am very eager to send him, so that you may rejoice again when you see him, and I may be less anxious. Therefore, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and hold people like him in honor, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what he was lacking in your ministry to me. Let's pray. God, open up your word to us. This morning we come just wanting to hear from you, wanting to understand better who you are, and especially to think about how we need good friends to serve you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Okay, so in this section, Paul turns to talk about two of his companions that the Philippians know, a guy named Timothy and a guy named Epaphroditus. How come we still name people Timothy but not Epaphroditus, right? I mean, that'd be pretty cool. Epaph, you know? But anyway, so we got Timothy and Epaphroditus. Timothy is a fellow servant and a young pastor, and we have a couple letters in the Bible, 1st and 2nd Timothy, that are letters from Paul to Timothy when they were separated, and they are awesome letters, especially for anybody aspiring to the ministry or thinking about being a pastor. Because Timothy was such a good servant and such a faithful friend to Paul in ministry, he really speaks to him about how to shepherd people and how to lead and teach as a pastor. And Paul calls Timothy like a son. So he's assistant, but he says, I don't have anyone who's as like-minded as Timothy. And he wants to send Timothy, but Paul actually can't let Timothy go. He needs him. Because remember that Paul is imprisoned right now as he's writing this letter. We don't exactly know which imprisonment he's actually in, but he basically says, like, I can't let Timothy go because I need him too much. But he loves you, and he's a great guy, and I hope eventually to be able to send him to you. But then you have Epaphroditus, and Paul calls Epaphroditus a brother, a co-worker, a fellow messenger, or a fellow soldier, messenger, and minister. And he's the one that actually has carried this letter to the Philippians. So he sent Epaphroditus with the letter and with news of how he's doing. So let's talk a little bit about Timothy. And what I hope to do with these two guys is for you to understand even more than you already do what it is to be a really good friend to somebody, especially in the Lord. So let's think about Timothy a little bit here. What do you think it means when Paul says that Timothy is like-minded? And he doesn't have anybody else who's as like-minded as him. What do you think there in the orange? Okay, similar personalities for sure. Very possible. Yep. What else? Yeah, right there. They what? They think the same. Yeah, yeah. About what do you think? Yeah. Probably Jesus. Yeah. And about ministry. And just, sometimes it's kind of hard to explain, isn't it? But how many of you have that friend that when you met them, it was just kind of like your wavelengths went like, whoop, same page. Anybody? Okay, that's pretty cool. And it doesn't happen all the time, and it's not like it has to happen. You know, a lot of people think differently, and you're not going to get along perfectly with everybody. But man, when you find a friend that is just like, you're just tracking with them, you can finish each other's sandwiches. I'm so sorry I did that, guys. I swore I would never make a Disney reference from the stage, but I just did. But yeah, you're super good friends. You're like-minded. You think the same thing about things. And the thing with like being like-minded is that it really forms a basis for everything else you do. Because you don't really have to explain why you want to do something or why something's important. You don't have to have those conversations because it's just like you're just sort of there already. So being like-minded with someone is really important. That's also, remember our triangle with Jesus at the top and two people? The closer that you get to Jesus, the more that you know about him and the more you align your life with him, the closer you get to each other. That's also kind of what happens with like-mindedness. In Jesus especially. He also calls him a genuine friend. A genuine person. He sincerely loved Paul. He was kind of the same person wherever he went. You guys remember the interview on Barry Sanders? I don't know if you caught it, but oh my goodness, I'm blanking on the quarterback. Dallas quarterback. Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman was talking about him, and he was saying that Barry Sanders was a very humble but genuine person because he was the same guy that he met when they were young college players 20 years later at a Thanksgiving game. Barry Sanders is just who he is. He's not trying to put on airs. He's not trying to be a different person for different people. He's just genuine. He's sincere. Paul is also dedicated. He's given his life to Jesus and also to Paul. He's a dedicated person. Friendship is grown through sacrifice. You can't really be a good friend without giving up some of what you want and helping the other person and compromising. And I always feel really loved when a friend gives me a gift. Either a gift of their time or, you know, maybe an actual gift. And all of those things reflect dedication. They're dedicated to the other person. He also is a person of character. And I think that comes into play because, you know, friends are going to be tested. It's not always going to be easy. Even though you're like-minded and you get along really well, sometimes there's going to be conflict. And so a person of character is so important. When you think about character, what are some of the things that come to mind for you? What makes up good character? What do you think? Humility, absolutely. So they're humble. Yeah, right back there. Oh, say that really loud. Pure-hearted. Yep, for sure. Yep. Back there, yeah. Kindness, absolutely, yep. Black shirt in the back. Respectful, definitely. Blue shirt. Patience. Man, we got a bunch of really good qualities, yep. How about truthful? How about if they say they're going to be somewhere, they are. Or if they say they're going to do something for you, they'll do it, right? All of those are good things about good character. And then the other unique thing that Paul says about Timothy is that he's like a son to him. And this is special. Not only is Timothy younger, and so Paul's kind of like a mentor to him and sort of a dad figure. And actually, when we find out about Timothy's family and Paul's talking about his family, he talks about his mother and his grandmother, but he never mentions his dad, so he might have been an orphan or his dad might have been kind of a bad guy and out of the family. And so Paul comes in and really kind of adopts him, helps him come to Christ and is helping him, and he feels like a father to him. And I think Timothy felt like a son. But we know that The relationship between family members, if it's a good one, is kind of stronger than any other one, isn't it? So he has real affection for Timothy, and Timothy has affection for him. So these guys are just our great friends and co-workers. And Paul really values Timothy. And he says, I hope to be able to send him. And there's even a chance that he says that when I send Timothy, I hope to be able to come too, or at least at some point to return to you. So they have this desire to get back to Philippi and see the Philippians, the people in this city. But Timothy isn't there yet. So then we get to Epaphroditus. And I don't want to call him like, you know, second string. Sorry. Come on. There we go. But Epaphroditus is the one that Paul is going to send. Now, maybe the Philippians really wanted Timothy to come. And they might be a little bit sad that Timothy can't be the one to come and visit them. So Paul kind of like talks up Epaphroditus, and he reminds them of what a good dude Epaphroditus is. So look at the things that he says about him. He calls him my brother. So Timothy was like his son, but Epaphroditus is like his brother. Also a term of great affection and connection. I love my brothers. I'm the oldest of six kids. So there's four. I have four biological brothers and a sister. Two. There's four of us. It goes me, my sister Kelly, Kevin, and Keith. And then I have two half-brothers because my mom passed away when I was six and a half, and then my dad got remarried, and so I have two half-brothers. But six kids. And I love all my siblings. Unfortunately, not all my siblings love the Lord, and so we don't have that connection, and I'm praying for them, but they're still my brothers, and I still love them a lot, and I would do anything for them, and my sister, even though she's the crazy one. So he's a brother. He's also a co-worker. So they've been working together. They've been together on this missionary journey that Paul's on. And a good way to build a friendship is to do cool stuff together. I mentioned to you guys that, you know, some of your cabin leaders were in my youth group, and we've gone together on mission trips. We were talking the other day, Ricky and I, about some of our memories of being at Big Creek in Kentucky and some of the crazy stuff that happened and trying to sell a Bop It on a local radio station. It's a long story. Ask Ricky about it. But just like being able to go and do things together is so fun, and you form a bond. Paul says Epaphroditus is his co-worker, and that was meaningful to him. But then, and this one really sticks out to me because I kind of wanted to join the military. I had a grandpa in World War II. I had a couple uncles in Vietnam. And there was a point where I wanted to join the Marines and actually tried to sign up and couldn't because of LASIK eye surgery. But when he says Epaphroditus is his fellow soldier, man, what he's saying there is he's like, we've been to war together. We've been in battle together. We have gone through some hard, hard stuff, and we have fought the good fight together, and he's my fellow soldier. And you want to talk about bonding with someone, talk about people who have been in combat with another person. There's almost nothing as bonding as going through something incredibly hard and surviving together and being together. My fellow soldier. When you think about your friendship, are you willing to go to battle with your friends? Are you going to be there next to them when stuff gets really hard? Can you be depended on when the bombs are flying? Epaphroditus is also friends with the Philippians, so they know who he is. But here's another thing that has proven how worthwhile he is. He got super sick. And we don't know what it was, but it says that he basically came near to death. And it sounds like he came near to death because he was out serving and trying to help the Philippians or Paul on their behalf. And they were worried about him. They were like, what? Epaphroditus got sick? And so they were anxious. And think about back in this day, right? You're not calling on the phone to send word about how someone is. And by the time word gets to you that, hey, there, you know, remember Epaphroditus? He's probably not going to make it. Everyone's worried. Okay, has he passed away? Did he recover? What's going on? And so a part of the reason that Paul wanted to send Epaphroditus was just to prove that he had recovered and to bring them joy because they could see him alive and healthy again. But it's also a part of what makes him such an honorable person. And Paul says Epaphroditus should receive high honor when you see him, because people who are willing to risk their life for the gospel deserve that high honor. And so this letter comes with Epaphroditus, and he's the messenger. Should be held in high honor because he came close to death for the work of Christ. So here's a couple things that we can take away from this passage and thinking about these friends of Paul and these friends of the Philippians. First of all, remember, we're talking about joy. Joy comes from being reunited with good friends. Reunited with good friends. And this is really practical, but I just want to encourage you guys, like, stay connected with your friends. Sometimes, like, your friends rotate because you can't spend a lot of time with them, and so maybe you have a friend because you were in class with them, but then you change grades, and now you don't see them as much anymore because they're with a different teacher or a different, like, group or something like that. But if they were your friend, just stay in touch. Hang out with them every once in a while. Experience the joy of getting back with someone that you love and spent time with. It does take some effort. You can't do it necessarily with every single person you've ever met. But stay in touch and try and hang out with people that you love. It'll make your life better. But here's another important principle. You will not be very effective in your ministry without a few besties in Jesus. And this is nothing new. We've been talking about this. But I want you to think about Paul's ministry. And would he even be writing a letter to the Philippians if he didn't have friends who were working with him and that he could depend on? Would he have even made it to that city and survived it and started a church without good bros? I don't think so. I don't think so. You need some besties. Another way that we could term this, going back to the fellow soldier thing, right, is that you need a battle buddy or a couple battle buddies. And this is interesting. The U.S. Army actually created a program that they called Battle Buddies in order to help mental health among their soldiers and even prevent suicide. Because they saw that a lot of soldiers were struggling with the stress and the burden of combat and of military life. And those who had a close friend who was willing to be alongside them everywhere they went and also watch them for signs of, like, negative thinking or destructive choices or bad coping skills, if those people had a friend, they'd stay healthier and they'd be better soldiers. And so they've actually tested this program called Battle Buddies, where they actually pair people up and they say, hey, you guys are watching out for each other. It's official. You keep track of this other person. And you know what it kind of reminds me of scripturally? Remember when Cain and Abel were getting in trouble? I should say Cain was getting in trouble because he'd murdered his brother. And God comes to confront him. And he says, Cain, where's your brother Abel? And Cain says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain was not a good brother. Cain was not a battle buddy. Because you are your brother or your sister's keeper. You do need someone who cares about how you're doing and is willing to walk through the crap with you and be there with you. You need a battle buddy. So a couple questions to end on. Number one, you probably won't see the importance of a battle buddy if you're not in battle. If you're not really fighting for Jesus, if you're not trying to be obedient to him, if you're not trying to advance the gospel or grow in him, then yeah, why do you need a bestie in Jesus? I'm fine. I'm getting everything done. But if you have agreed to engage in the fight and you're actually trying to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ in a world that usually is full of selfishness and pride and perversion and anger and violence, then yeah, you know how hard it is. You know what it's like to take a shot. You know how dangerous it is to be tempted or to be fighting the forces of evil. And you probably recognize, yeah, I can't do it by myself. I need friends. So if you're engaged in battle, do you have a buddy? Our first session, I said, you know, one of the ways that I hope you guys grow in joy is that you make some friends. And I asked you, I think, yesterday, you know, like, anybody making friends? And some of you raised hands, and that is just so awesome. I actually feel your guys' joy increasing, which is so cool, even though it's Wednesday and we're all kind of tired. But I want to encourage you guys, keep going. And one of the awesome things about camp is that you have so many opportunities to find your battle buddies. And maybe it's your whole cabin, I don't know, but like, don't leave here without connecting with someone and kind of being like, hey, you know, maybe you live in the same town, you're going home together, or, you know, maybe you're just going to stay in touch over text or something like that, but find that person that you can do battle with who cares about you and who can stay close to you. Find your Timothy, find your Epaphroditus, find your Paul. And be good friends with them. You'll get a lot done. Amen? All right, let me pray, and then you guys can head off to Cabin Devos. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these words. And I pray for everyone to have a partner in ministry. Here, for sure, but also when they go home, because I know how hard it is to go home. I know how quickly life will just flood back in and the worries of normal life will have to be addressed. And God, we want to be in your battle. We want to be fellow soldiers for Christ. We want to be advancing the gospel. Even these middle schoolers can do that, Lord, but they can't do it alone. So bring them true friendships that can help them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.